But in the Chaitanya Chaitamrita, he explains that there are three deities which are called functional deities. The first one was Madan Mohan, and we visited Madan Mohan two nights ago. So Madan Mohan, Srila Prabhupada explains, is meant for the neophyte
devotee,
because his function is to draw the attention of the person who has worldly attachment away from the attraction to sense gratification and on the attraction towards Krishna. But once somebody's mind is attracted towards Krishna, he's actually fixed in that. He's interested now. He wants to know how more to develop a relationship with Krishna. Then the next level of deity function comes, and Radha Govinda Dev is the predominating deity of that.
That is called
Abhideha, or all of the processes, how to actually develop my sense of loving service to Krishna.
So if we know in the beginning, this is
very practical. The beginning stages, as given in Bhagavad Gita also, it's based on this idea of Yukta Vairagya. Wherever you are, whoever you are, whatever you are, whatever you like to do, you try to get to fix your conception by hearing, by understanding something from the mercy of Madan Mohan, in offering that to the Lord. And basically, it's something like karma yoga. This is what I am, this is what I like to do, and I'll give some of it, or more of it, and more of it, for your pleasure. And so that's the platform in which Srila Prabhupada explains that bhakti begins. And when he was coming to the West, he was very much wanted to emphasize this particular point, because anyone can come and join in that. They, as long as they don't have an occupation that's completely sinful, like a butcher or something like that, then they can be recommended that you keep your job, you keep your work, you keep your position in the world, but you develop your love for Krishna step by step, gradually, gradually, and you can come to the perfectional stage. But there's a stage above that, that if we are unawares of that higher stage, we may think that our job is done there, that I just give something to Krishna and I like the things of this world and I'm happy. But Srila Prabhupada said, no, that is called a prakrita bhakta, or somebody who's still on the material platform. In other words, they still identify with this world. I'm a man, I'm a woman, I'm from this country, I'm from that country, I'm smart, I'm stupid, on and on and on and on. Upadhik bhakti. But Radha Govinda Dev, we begin our worship of Radha Govinda Dev like that, but then that worship, as it becomes more and more purified, as we go up levels, and this should happen to everyone, unless we're neglecting, or something happens that somehow or other turns us backwards for some time, in normal course of events, one should go in one's studies, first grade, second grade, third grade, fourth grade. And even if there's some difficulty, one can again work out how to proceed upwards and upwards, step by step. So as we're going up, what are we going up towards? We're going upwards towards real pure devotional service, which is sarva padi vinir muktam. That means, sarva means all, upadis means all the things that we think we are, because we're existing in this present body, each one of us. Vinir muktam, they're all gone. And we actually now see ourselves as an eternal servant of Krishna in the truest sense. And so this Abhideha, this process, the functional deity of how to develop one's make advancement in devotional service, begins with this transcendental knowledge, Madan Mohan, please attract me, please draw my attention from the material world so I can think and be attracted to Krishna. Please give me the Sambandhagyan, the knowledge Bhagavad Gita gives, Srimad Bhagavatam gives, so I can understand things clearly. And then please give me the strength to actually engage myself in the devotional service of the Lord. Now the door is closed, so you do not even know, but one moment before the door is open and we can all see. So this is Lord Govinda Dev's mercy, that he gives us his darshan, and he gives us the process. So So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that there are different activities that are directly devotional. Just as it were saying, we have to live in this world, we have to work in this world, we have all our attachments. That's understood. But the activities that are performed primarily for Krishna's pleasure, those activities are the ones that will take us up very quickly. And they include, as we see, 64 items in Nectar of Devotion, beginning with acceptance of the spiritual master, inquiring about spiritual knowledge from him, and then taking up Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smaranam, Vishnu, all the various angas of devotional service. So this is the thing that we can come here and pray to Govinda Dev for. And it was interesting because I was trying to think what to speak about here, and I was looking for different things, and then I was thinking something to do with Govinda, and then it came into my mind very sort of simply, Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami, and I realized that the whole of the Brahma Samhita is actually, I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord. All the information in there is given under the basis of Lord Brahma worshipping Govinda Dev. So then I looked quickly through the Brahma Samhita, and I could see in there that there were three or four verses, I didn't bring it with me, that first of all described the abode of the Supreme Govinda Dev. The second one described the beautiful form of Govinda Dev, which is Venum Kamvantam Aravindam Dalayataksham. And the third one described the pastimes of Govinda Dev. I don't know the Brahma Samhita well enough to... So this Brahma Samhita is giving us actually this information that is needed. And after one has practiced and applied oneself to the application of, first of all, sadhana bhakti, and then after that, when one develops some taste for Krishna consciousness, one becomes more spontaneous. And there comes a stage, believe it or not, where the mind that is now so totally spontaneously attracted to Maya, that we can't actually recognize when our mind leaves the subject of Krishna and returns to material things. We're trying to listen, we're trying to concentrate, but any moment our mind just goes, it's naturally attracted to Maya. So there comes a point in one's development of Krishna consciousness whereby even though we're acting in the world, our mind is as much attracted to thinking about Krishna as our mind is now attracted to thinking about things of this world. And the pastimes and the abode of the Lord becomes as tangible as this is tangible to us now. We think, our rational faculty says, practical, I can touch this, I can feel this, I can see this, this is real. And what I'm hearing about, it's a little bit certainly far away from where I am now. But we come to a point where that's reversed. And this seems very unreal. And our consciousness becomes very riveted on actually meditation on Govinda Dev. So we're not there yet, but it's very important to hear these things. Otherwise, we will not know what is actually the process of bhakti and how it is to be attained. So Govinda Ji is like that. The original Govinda Ji deity was found just at this place where the old temple is. When Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswamis were searching around in Vrindavan for all the original places of Krishna's pastimes, they knew that Brajanath had carved three deities, at least Govinda Ji, Madan Mohan, Govinda Dev, and Gopinath. So they were looking everywhere, here and there, trying to find these deities. And Rupa Goswami was becoming very hopeless because he couldn't find Govinda Ji, who was the one he was particularly searching for. Then one day he came to this area and he saw there was a cow, and the cow was spontaneously giving milk. Actually, he was at the Jamuna. And a little boy asked him what he was looking for, and he explained. And the little boy said, you go to this tila, this hill, and on top of this hill you'll see there's a cow there, and that cow is just giving, pouring milk. And the milk is going into a hole. It's not just spreading everywhere, it's just going into the earth. So he came to this place and he saw this phenomena. And then he became inspired to actually excavate that area, and he came upon the deity of Govindaji, who had been there for who knows how many hundreds of thousands of years. So he had him installed here in perhaps a small temple, because it was 50 years after Sri Rupa Goswami had left that this temple was finished. And Raghunath Bhatta Goswami was in charge of the worship of Govindadev by that stage. And all the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, they saw everything in Govindaji. They thought Govindaji was the perfection of all deities. The deities of Govinda Gopinath, Madan Mohan, Nathji, and a few more were all carved at that time out of a very considered a priceless stone. It's called Braja, the stone itself. So these deities became the pride and glory of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who were living in Vrindavan at that time. And when Govindadev went to Jayapur, the people of Vrindavan, naturally enough, they wanted him back. So they wrote and petitioned the king, please, now there is no danger from the Mughals, now you can send him back, we are missing him. But he said, when somebody comes to your house as a guest, can you ask him to leave? This is completely improper. So there is no question that I can ask Govindaji to leave here. And so because he was not willing to part with Govindadev, this deity is installed in his place. This is called Pratibhu, when a deity is installed after another deity has somehow or other left. And this deity fully represents the original deity of Govindaji. So this deity also is extremely old. And in this temple, I've noticed all the time that I've been here, which is on and off for the last nearly 20 years, that the little man on this side with the hair like this, he's always been taking care of his duties for years and years and years. He looks just the same as he always did also. He speaks some English. He's somewhat cultured. But he's been doing the worship of Govindaji for many, many, many years now. So this temple isn't popular like Govindaji in Jaipur. But there's a core of Bengalis, Marwaris even, who come here and they see Govindaji every night. Each temple in Vrindavan has its sort of crowd of people who come particularly to that temple. And this, as I was saying, was the temple that Srila Prabhupada wanted them to come and have a look at in order to get some idea of what he wanted for the Krishna Balaram temple. So even though it has these enclosed, you know, around here is enclosed, you can see there are some similarities, you know, to the way up here even is the same. You know, and the three archways in our Krishna Balaram temple has the same type of decoration there. Quite a few things are very similar. So Surabhi and others involved in the architecture, they came down here and they took some of the ideas from here. So if you like, we could stay here a little longer, or we can go from here in a quick walk. It's a little bit of a walk, but not too far. And take the darshan, which we may not get otherwise, of Gopeshwar Mahadev, Lord Shiva, who's the protector of the rasa dance, and also visit, if we have a chance, Vamsivat, which is the place where the rasa dance takes place in Vrindavan.